made it back for another week. I swear to God, this is the eighth episode, but you're telling me it's not.
It's only the fifth.
Wow. I feel like we've been doing this forever. This is the Halloween episode.
You know what we're doing?
What are we doing? Somebody give me, Robbie, give me my spoon.
We'll play the spoons.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode. I have no idea which one it is.
It's episode 5. It's the Halloween episode.
Okay, cool.
I'm glad. And that was Robert Johnson.
Now, tell the folks about Robert Johnson.
Well, you see, so Robert Johnson has a notorious, I guess it's a folklore, because it wasn't urban legends back then, folklore that he went down to the crossroads and sold his soul to the devil to become the king of the Delta Blues.
Now, this was in the late 30s, correct?
Yeah, so there's no true, like, way to track when he actually started his music career. The story goes that he went down to the crossroads.
Gotta be some CDs somewhere.
There's no CDs in the 30s, dude.
Really?
Yeah. Not only they had like hard press wax vinyl, or I don't even think it was vinyl. It was wax records. 1936. God, we're coming up on 2036, like in a decade.
Ooh.
Anyways, so in 1936 he showed up. I mean, he went to Texas in November and recorded 23 songs. And then it was Delta Blues. It wasn't like it was a widespread thing, you know, and you're talking about the 30s.
It was just kind of sudden and out of nowhere, right?
Yeah. And if you kind of trace a timeline backwards, I mean, back then you didn't have as rapid of travel as you had now. You had bus and stuff like that. So, but you know, if you really think about it, like you go back a month, I mean, it's October, which could, I guess, technically be considered. Maybe he did this on Halloween because of the whole belief of Samhain and the veil between the living and the dead being the thinnest. And, you know, I mean, he did write Hellhounds on My Trail, plus Crossroad Blues, plus Me and the Devil Blues, plus he died of a suspicious death not too long after he started his career. He was dead.
There may have been some devilish shenanigans going on there.
Probably. He was the first member of the 27 Club.
Mm. Yeah. Now, to our listeners who don't know, explain the 27 Club.
The 27 Club is a list of actors and actresses who famously died at the age of 27.
It's quite a long list, too.
Yeah. It's got some notable people on there. So you've got, let's see here, Kurt Cobain, I know, was on there.
Do you know the best thing that ever happened to Nirvana?
Kurt Cobain dying?
No, I didn't say that. Foo Fighters.
Well, I mean, yeah, I guess it's kind of true.
Yeah. Chill out, all you Nirvana fans out there.
Really do that? That's like that old joke. What's the last thing that went through Kurt Cobain's mind when he shot himself?
Oh, God.
His nose.
Not funny.
I mean... Oh, God. First bus to hell, now loading. First bus to hell, now loading. All right. So let's do a list of people, shall we? We're going to start in a modern time because, I mean, the 1800s.
Some of them, we may not even know who they are or what they did.
Robert Johnson.
Check.
And you've got Joe Henderson. He was an R&B and gospel singer.
Randy Rhoads.
I hadn't gotten there yet.
Oh, well, I know some of them.
Randy Rhoads, that was a weird death, too. Did you ever watch it? Did you ever see what happened? So he didn't want to get on that plane. The guy was high on a bunch of shit, and Randy Rhoads was like, I don't want to do this. Like, he really did not want to do it. And the costume designer chick, like, she was kind of forced into it, and Randy Rhoads went to kind of comfort her. And then, you know.
The rest is
the rest is history. Brian Jones. Which, again, he died under suspicious circumstances. He was a drowner. You know, he drowned. The urban legend behind that one was that Mick Jagger and Keith Richards sacrificed him to the devil. Because they had ties. Like that.
Is that why Mick Jagger's still alive at 174 years old?
Keith Richards, too. No, they said they did it for fame, and then they, you know, had like Sympathy for the Devil and Play with Fire, and they had a bunch of songs that were kind of fringy and could be related to Satanism.
And Mick Jagger does dance around like he's possessed.
He dances around like he's stomping cockroaches. So I do know this one fairly well because I did a lot of, because Rolling Stones are one of my favorite bands, and I know you hate them.
I cannot stand them.
There was the whole thing with Gimme Shelter. The lady who sang background on Gimme Shelter was pregnant at the time, and she got up in the middle of the night, and the folklore bird and legend behind that was that the baby miscarried. She lost the baby during the recording as a blood sacrifice to the Dark One.
Wow.
I mean, you got to add mystique. You know,
and all you weirdos bought the shit out of those records too.
Well, I mean, I didn't really buy them. I had them. I mean, you don't have to buy shit now. I mean, you just go online and order it, but or not order it, just download it. Anyways, I digress.
Jimi Hendrix. Was it
Jimi Hendrix?
I was surprised at that one. I thought Jimi Hendrix was older than 27. I did not realize that.
He was only 27 years old. He died of asphyxia due to drug use. He threw up and, you know, died on his own vomit.
Had a little bit too much.
Janis Joplin. She was another one. Jim Morrison. He was one.
Guy was gone long before he was 27.
He absolutely was. Let's see who else is on here that's of note. There's a lot of people who were famous in other areas, but it's just not ones that we're going to know. Let's see, getting into the more modern times, you've got Kurt Cobain, you've got Richie Edwards, which, he disappeared and later declared legally dead. He was the, guitarist and the lyricist for the Manic Street Preachers.
Oh, okay. Heard of him.
Yeah.
Couldn't tell you a single song, but.
No, I mean, I heard the story. Who else was on here? Oh, what's her name? Rehab Girl. You know, Amy Winehouse.
Oh, yeah.
Said you want to go to rehab, and I said no, no, no. And then she dies, ironically, of alcohol poisoning. You know, it was kind of crazy. But, you know, Anton Yelchin, that one should hit close home to you. He was a New Age Trekkie.
Why do you got to bring up that shit, man?
Well, it's not shit.
I have no idea who that is.
He played Chekhov in the Star Trek reboot.
Oh, yeah. He was also actually a really good movie, and I'm trying to think of the name of it.
Do you know this? His was bizarre.
Yes, it was very bizarre.
I mean, his fucking vehicle rolled into him and killed him.
Oh, yeah. I think he was getting out of his car in the driveway or something.
And it rolled back into him and ran him over. It's like, geez, God, that sucks.
Odd Thomas was the name of that movie.
Odd Thomas?
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm not seeing anybody else that's new. I'm sure that the younger audience listeners would probably know some of these people, but I have no clue. I don't know. Somebody named Duddy DR, Chance Prodermo, Mobad. You notice how the name switched from normal to weird? Like, you get into the 90s and the newer people, and it goes from, like, you know, I don't know, we'll say Jimi Hendrix to Mo Killer Murder Man.
Right.
Yeah, Big Little Slimsy, you know, stuff like that. I mean, the hell. You guys just take words and slap them against the wall and see what sticks. That's my name. So, I mean, that's how I would do it, I guess. Actually, I think of myself as a little more creative. I mean, it's not everybody that you can come up with. Betty McCocknutter and Jock McCockoff.
Almighty.
They're going to be doing a news report one day for us. You're going to get world news with Barry and Jack.
Oh, on the MFBNN network. more fucking bad news network.
All right, so let's circle back and go back to what we were talking about. So,
well, the reason for bringing all that up was because it's Halloween and it's kind of a curse, quote unquote curse.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's all associated with bad, and for some reason, Halloween, which was originally Samhain and was originally just the end of a harvest, though it had spiritual ties to it because they were Celtic, you know. And I mean, it all just kind of turned on its ear. Everything became evil. I don't know what it is. Samhain went from being a word to a spirit to a demon, you know. And so the whole reason that they dress up on Halloween is to hide themselves from the evil spirits, You know, Hispanic culture has Dia de la Muerte, the Day of the Dead, which theirs to me is actually very fascinating. They do the ofrenda, you know, where they put the pictures up and they got they do the big feast and everything and cook the dead family members' favorites food and stuff.
Yeah.
And then they go play in the graveyard. That's cool.
Well, yeah, that's not such a bad idea either.
No.
I bet they don't spend as much freaking money on shit as we do during Halloween.
I've seen Coco. It looked fun.
Yes, Coco.
Coco, that was one of my, I teared up a little bit in that one. I liked it.
That was a Tim Burton movie, right?
No, it was just Disney.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, but Disney.
It had a real Nightmare Before Christmas vibe to it.
Very much so. It was a lot of bright colors and stuff like that in it, but Day of the Dead has a lot of bright colors in it as well.
Now, speaking of the Nightmare Before Christmas, that's a cult movie that is technically...
It's an either or.
You
can watch it on Christmas or you can watch it on Halloween. It all depends on how you're feeling. When the kids were younger, that's what I would put on. Everybody had their traditional movies that they would put on. I'd put on Nightmare Before Christmas. Kids could give a shit less, but I watched it.
You liked it.
I loved it. I got a tattoo. I got a tattoo of it, so obviously I like it. So with all that being said, the 27 Club, Robert Johnson kind of got me thinking about what are some stuff that, or some things, I'm sorry, I said that completely broken Englishly. What are some
Robbie, edit that out later. Yeah,
please, Robbie. Robbie was just saying that Halloween became about slutty outfits.
You're not wrong, Robbie. You're definitely not wrong. the one night that prostitution's legal or
it's the one night that OnlyFans hits 2 billion users. Every woman's on their OnlyFans on Halloween. But local stuff, we've got stuff. I told you I found the one that John Cena, my favorite Meta AI voice, was telling me about. There's one that's local here, the Sorrel's House. Couldn't find anything about it. Like, I know I've heard of it.
Yeah, but I didn't.
But I don't, it's not ringing. Now, I know about the Barber House.
Yes.
That was the house that I almost bought. Mm-hmm. And I kind of wish I had, because it was like, it was only like $100,000 when I was looking at buying it. It needed to be remodeled, but now it's like worth $1.2
million. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot. But that, when we toured that house, it was creepy as hell. It was. I mean, it was very, yeah, this is haunted.
Do you remember the Texas Chainsaw Massacre house that we looked into renting?
That was
fucked up.
And my crazy ass, I want the basement.
Yeah.
Like, that's where I wanted to live. I wanted to live down in the basement because the basement was the least unsettling part of the house to me.
Most definitely. And that house was, it had all the nostalgia and everything. It had more rooms than what we needed, but.
It was like, 12 bedrooms?
Yes, it was a ridiculous amount of, you know, just like houses from probably like the early 1900s.
That one had to have been 1800s.
It could have been.
That was like 1800s plantation mansion.
Yeah.
Was what that was.
Yeah. So it had like 14 bedrooms and 1.5 bath.
Yep. Because they didn't have baths. They didn't have bathrooms.
Right. Yeah.
So they just kind of had to get it where they could fit it in. And
like in 30 foot ceilings. I'm like, oh God.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And then Preston pulls us all. There's like 5 of us who are going to move into this house. And Preston's like, guys, come here. We got to talk about this. There is no way we can afford the power bill alone in this house.
That was what broke me. I was like, the rent was cheap enough, and I was like, there's no way we're going to be able to afford to power this fucking thing.
No, there wasn't any. No. And then the internet was getting big at the time, too, and like we would have had to pay through the nose for internet because we would have had to have cable internet. No, thank you. We passed. They demolished it.
They did.
They tore it.
Yeah, I drive by and look at that grown-up empty lot now and think of that house all the time.
It was calling to you. Come live in me, Preston. Please come live in me.
Sounds dirty.
Well, I mean, it's a house. What else are you going to do? You live in a house.
Mm-hmm.
This is true. You don't live on, about, or around it unless you're just a weirdo who's like, I got a house, but I'm going to live in my camper.
I had enough fucking skull crickets at that time to be living in some damn haunted house. And skull crickets is a saying of my good buddy Jeff Nixon. I told him I'd give him a shout out. Thanks for listening, Jeff.
So, but okay, yeah. Thank you, Jeff, for listening. Thank you, everybody.
We hit
a milestone. We hit 103. If I don't say 103, Preston gives me the hairy eyeball.
Mm-hmm. We're hard for that, huh?
103 listens over 4 episodes, which I guess would average out to like 25.025 listens per episode.
I'm just gonna let y'all know y'all listen to it more than one time.
Well, we do. I do, because it's I mean, I get it. It's our show, but
we're
like,
doing research too.
No, I'm not. I'm listening to it like a consumer. I do,
because
I,
most of the time we don't remember what we said.
No, I mean, this is true. I go back and I'm like, oh shit, I really said that on the air. Okay, that was weird. I hope the FCC didn't catch that one. But no, just
I didn't do this to you. You did this to you. You said,
yeah, I didn't do this to you. You did this to you. all right, I got to get this one out of the way real quick. So do your Kirby Smart. I'm going to put you right on the spot. You made me do that stupid Arnold Schwarzenegger shit.
I'm going to get you with that again.
Nah, yeah, Kirby Smart me.
Ask me a question like you're interviewing me.
Coach Smart, how do you think the Bulldogs played in the second half today?
Well, I'll tell you, we didn't start out strong because that's not the type of team we are. Proud of kids. We needed the crowd to be loud. We needed to make a lot of noise. They were good at running the ball. That's what they do. At halftime, you know, we don't come out strong, you know, so at halftime, I take those boys back into the back, and I tell them, if they ever want to see the light of day again, they better get that ball in the end zone. Proud of our kids. Next question.
I have no more questions.
Oh, God.
People, yeah, I can't.
Sorry if I fucked up your lunch here. My bad. Stay in school.
I left the house. Like, I was in the middle of watching the Falcons do Falcons things. It's like they can beat the hell out of a 6-0 team, but you put them against one that has no record with a crap, and they can't
win. Railroaded.
They just get beat to death. Of course, you know, I also got scared when I saw Kirk Cousins out on the field. I'm like, oh, this is going to end poorly. That guy is like, if there was a poster child for being insecure, it's Kirk Cousins now. He is so insecure about his career now, and I mean, he kind of has a right to be. They brought him in, they paid him all this money, and they're like, you're our guy, and then like literally 6 months later, they got a rookie quarterback, and they're like, just kidding, he's our guy.
Psych. So, he can keep all the money as a consolation
prize. I heard he might land back in Minnesota.
Minnesota?
Yeah, in Minnesota. Back in the Twin Cities. I'm not going there. We're not going to talk about Minnesota. Because the Vikings.
I thought you loved Minnesota.
Nah, the Vikings are up there.
I thought you loved the Vikings.
No, I like Vikings. Not the Vikings. Oh, I thought you were talking about the
football team.
No, I was talking about the actual Vikings.
Oh.
Like, you know, kind of got Viking tattoos and shit. I like the culture. It's pretty neat. I don't get into the extreme right wing part of it. I just
What is the extreme right wing part of it?
They take it and they twist and bastardize the shit out of it. And there are ones that actually do it. I don't know. Whatever. They associate it a lot with white supremacy, which is kind of weird because, I mean, it's...
I don't... Yeah. I wasn't laughing about that, folks. There was something else going on in the room.
I think you could take anything and make it, you know, like...
Well, yeah, you could twist it any way you want it to be, you know.
So, but... No, I just like the old mentality of the Vikings being kind of savage and conquerors and the berserkers, and I mean, I don't know. They made a show about it, and the show did pretty good, so I guess it's, you know, all is forgiven, kind of. But I digress. We may have, Robbie, you might have to edit that one out, too. This one's,
Nah, leave it in there, Robbie.
But
so, back to Halloween, this being our Halloween episode. I had a question I wanted to ask you. So, if you had to pick the first movie that you ever saw that truly scared you, and because of it to this day still makes you feel uneasy when you watch it or think about it.
You know which movie that is for me.
I think I do.
It's the Blair Witch Project.
Okay. So, you were a little older. When I truly first got scared.
Well, no, okay, so listen, like, no, was because it No, because at the time, at the time there was no real big internet to tell us it was fake.
Right, we didn't know.
So we didn't know, and like, and like, oh my God, and watch, this is, yeah, and, but I grew up with a dad who, that's all we watched was horror movies, so it didn't really scare me. You know, but I can tell you a kind of a crazy story about the Blair Witch. We go and see it in a theater, okay? And I'm like, I don't know, 17, 16, somewhere around there.
I want to say it came out in 99?
Nah, it had to have been earlier than that.
It couldn't have been much earlier.
I don't know. Hold on. We'll look it up.
We'll verify.
Either way, I can't remember exactly how old I was. The point is, I was a teenager.
Yeah.
And my mom had that stupid rule. If you're not here by 10, the doors are locked. Right? So we get done watching this movie. The movie didn't let out until like 11. So I go to the house, and I'm like locked out. And like hear the wind rustling the leaves behind me and like blow. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm creeping out. You know, it's like, and then finally, you know, got freaked out enough to where I beat on the door and she came and let me in. And then, like, 2 days later, we take a trip to Blairsville, Georgia.
No relation, folks. No,
not even close, but still, I'm like, take me up in the woods. This is awesome, you know? There's witches up here in these woods.
So the Blair Witch was the one that, like, kind of first truly made you uncomfortable just because of the mystery of you not knowing and the way it was shot?
So, okay, yes, but if you want to talk about the earliest one, I don't even know the name of this movie. I can just tell you there was this one scene that kind of got to me. It was they open this vault in like Egypt or Jerusalem and the guy gets ripped in half. I don't even remember. It's something about Satan and David.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't remember what
movie
it was. I
was trying to think about the second Exorcist movie I thought might start out something like that, but I think I'm wrong about it.
And I could have a bunch of shit blurred together, you know, because my memory sucks. It was when it's that early, like last 20 years I can remember, but like little kid memories, I can't remember.
But mine was, and still to this day, this was a big letdown with the recent remake and everything of it, but was It. For me, that really, and that was 1990, and it came on network television as a three-night movie. It was, you know, like an hour and a half each night,
yeah.
You know, and that was the one that really, and even to this day, I'm like, whoa.
So Tim Curry did a much better Pennywise.
Absolutely, man. Love that dude.
But I did get to have fun with my oldest son when he was little. He wanted to see that movie so bad.
You took him, didn't you?
I did take him. I took him.
You took him to the new one.
I took him to the new one.
Not nearly as
but
scary.
So, let me tell you, I took him to the new one, and me being father of the year, I went to Ingles, or to the grocery store, and got a single red balloon, and filled it with helium, and had it tied off to a weight, and put it in his bedroom. For when we got back, he didn't know it was there, but he kind of scared the hell out of himself too, because we had to park at my friend's house up above. We had to use his truck. This is a long story, but we used his truck to go to the movies and walk down. And as we're walking down, my girlfriend at the time hits the alarm on the car and he jumps out of his skin. It freaked him out. He was already freaked out, you know, and then he comes in and he sees this red balloon. And like he loses it, starts screaming, you know, and he's like, I'm just going to go to bed. I got to watch something that's going to help. Like, so he's like, I think he was putting on like VeggieTales, something like that. You know, and he's not like four, he's 10 or 11. Okay. So this is fair game. He had turned the volume all the way up on the TV. And so he puts the DVD on and he presses play and it starts as loud again. All you hear is motherfucker. He comes running out of his room. That was a proud dad moment. Yeah.
But it wasn't just me. It was disturbing to a lot of people. And don't get me wrong. So was the Blair Witch Project too. It was disturbing.
Look at the phobia that came from it. I mean, that is seriously, I think, where the beginning of the fear of clowns came from. You know, as
the thing I do like about the newer ones is that they're, and which, of course, if I'd read the damn book, I probably would have already known this, but the movie's fucking 4.5 hours long, so I can only imagine how long the damn book is. I mean, I already covered it. I'm not reading any damn books. But with the backstory to it and what it or what Pennywise is supposed to be. And
oh,
all
he's
that
a demon.
Stuff. Yeah, or like an interdimensional.
He was a Loman, is what he was. Yeah. He was all the. I'm going to get corrected on this.
It's something else.
The tower. He was related to the tower and the Loman and all that stuff. But a lot of them were. The Stand, Stephen King, the whole that whole thing was part of the tower too.
I don't know, man. It's just something about
Dark Tower. That's what it is. It's simple. It's the Dark Tower series.
It's just something about that era, like the late 80s, the whole 80s, the very early 90s era of the horror movies is just, and maybe it's just because that's probably when I remember, you know, really paying attention to them the most, but it's just something so different than now. Like nothing hits me now like what that stuff does.
So you got to think, back then we were very limited on what we could gain resource from. We had friends and encyclopedias and local television.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. We really didn't. Cable was not as huge yet.
You were rich if you had cable.
And so we weren't exposed to those types of things at an early age as opposed to the kids now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've got their whole cryptids and everything now. There's literally creatures that were created online that they're like, oh, this might really exist. You know, like Slenderman, really? Slenderman?
Yeah, that one does things.
And then
freaky,
the Momo face.
What a Momo face.
It's a very twisted, smiley, giant eyes Momo. Oh, look it up.
A Momo? Big old bug-eyed Momo?
Yeah, it's a bug-eyed Momo.
You sure it's not a extraterrestrial or something? Some big alien?
Oh, I'll show you. That's the Momo.
I thought that was some damn Japanese, Asian shit. That Momo, that's pretty freaky. That thing looks like a damn half bird and half...
Somebody sculpted titties on this one with chicken legs. Look at it. Look at it. It's got a killer rack and chicken legs.
Too much damn free time.
I guess this one's called it's a chicken head. Weren't we supposed to be talking about Halloween?
We're doing a little bit better at staying on topic than we normally would, but I don't think anybody's going to fucking care, to be honest with you.
Probably not. You know what, though? We can talk about some shit that we've seen, like with our ghost hunt stuff.
Okay.
So, were you with us when we went to the Alto Cemetery? I don't remember if you were there or not.
I was not. I was there that night with the bridge.
Yes, the Woods Bridge. Mm-hmm. That one was creepy. Hearing the footsteps in the water and the temperature change
in the bushes.
Yeah, something. But that one, you know, has a folklore history to it. Scorned lady, cheating husband, committed suicide, ran her car off the bridge in the 40s. And the folklore behind it is if you drive slowly across the bridge at midnight, you know, you'll actually see her in the rear view. But we did have like the road moving away from us. That was the weird part for me. So we would sit still and just kind of look in the rear view, see if we saw anything. But if you look directly at the road, and I know it's a visual phenomena, but still it was kind of cool.
Yeah.
You know, to see the road look like it was traveling away from you. We went to this little cemetery. It was a prisoner cemetery in Alto. And that one got hairy. Like, we weren't there very long. Like, fully charged things were dying immediately. Go ahead.
Now, that is my single number one biggest hang-up with, quote-unquote, ghost hunting.
Okay. Well, let's hear it.
There was a particular episode of a very popular ghost hunter show.
Was it an adventure?
No.
It wasn't an adventure?
No, I just said the name.
Oh, so... It was ghost hunters, not... Yes, they weren't
exactly,
on an adventure.
Exactly. They weren't on a fucking merry adventure. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So there... And this may have... I think this was the one where they went to Europe and were doing the castles. And I was super stoked about this. Like, this has got to be great.
Ancient history. Ghosts.
Yeah, I've got a big heart on for castles anyway, but...
Right.
I was like, okay, this is going to be great. They're going to... So it starts getting good. And I mean, devices start... losing power.
Yeah.
Still got, you know, because I think they got camera on top of camera, top of camera.
Well, yeah, of course.
I hope so. I mean, it shit starts to hit the fan and dude fucking flips out and runs out. The whole team.
Did he run off the castle?
No, they just packed their shit up and I'm like, well, what the fuck are you doing here? Why?
Well,
and like it almost got good. Like, you thought you almost had something?
Yeah.
And you ran away.
So, no, all right, now,
that's my biggest hang-up.
That's fair, but when we were here in this particular one, we felt like we were getting surrounded by stuff.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't just, like...
You want to be like, come on,
we pull over, it's a pull... So, you've got the state prison, okay? You got the prison grounds.
Y'all was being surrounded. Y'all was being
It was where surrounded. They buried the people that died in the prison that didn't have family to claim them.
Ooh, they weren't happy about that.
No, absolutely not. And you have to park on the side of the road. You have to know where this freaking thing is in the woods because it's not marked. We go up and it's a bunch of graves on a hillside with covered, nobody took care of this thing.
Maybe it was just lonely.
I think it was several its.
And they were just lonely.
Well, regardless.
Maybe they was hoping you would drop the soap.
I mean, I think they were hoping that a lot of soap would have been dropped, I guess, because they were they were powering up, they were using our energy
they were
for
juicy.
Their energy. I'd have hit the ground running quick if I'd have heard.
What is that supposed to be? Lightsaber?
Yeah, lightsaber. I'll smell your lightsaber. Yeah, one of those.
Oh, but no, I love it. And that stuff can't be explained, but it's just like, sometimes I'm like, well, if it's that bad, the first thing I would have done would have been gotten on the phone and be like, somebody get me a police robot because somebody's going in this motherfucker with the camera.
But you couldn't call anybody because your phone's dead. It's draining everything. I'm telling you, it killed everything.
No, I'm not talking about your situation.
I'm talking about theirs, too. It was draining. Didn't you say it was draining all the batteries?
Some things were, but not everything.
Oh. You know? Well, you give it enough time, they'll get it.
Yeah.
You know?
It's just disappointment.
I mean, no, that's not disappointment. Disappointment is when you go on an adventure. This dude, he has a whole museum of he's got a show of it. I don't want to say his name because he's already he would sue us if he ever heard this. that's what kind of guy he is, you know. And but he's got this whole museum where he's got all these haunted artifacts and things like that. And then he does a show where he has them come in and he's like, and now we're going to lock them down in the bottom of the house, and we're going to see what happens with this object by them. It's like, what the hell am I watching right now? He's like, we're hoping for a demonic possession. You know,
we're hoping to really come in and fuck them all up.
Yeah, but you know, he did buy the
Annabelle doll.
No, somebody else bought that. Did Matt Rife buy that damn thing? No.
So it's got a new owner.
Tony Spera is who you're thinking of. Tony Spera is actually Ed and Lorraine Warren's son-in-law. He still has it.
He does?
Yes. As far as I know. I know that the dude that died on the road with Annabelle was told explicitly not to handle that doll.
Right.
And not to move it. And then he died. And then everybody was like, it was natural causes. Dude was early 50s. There's no way it was natural causes.
Current owner, Matt Rife, and his partner, Elton Casty? Oh, God, I'm not even... forget it. Sorry, folks, I looked it up.
Well, it's...
I think this is very recent, though, that he bought it. Yeah, in the past 3 or 4 months. Like, it's new.
Okay, so... Yeah, well, but Matt Rife is a paranormal investigator, too.
Is he?
Yep.
Damn, he's such a talented comedian. That guy really is funny. I don't see how he gets away with the shit that he gets away with, but
You didn't see my post the other day?
Man, I'm sorry.
No, you didn't, because you're not on that page. You're only on the podcast page. So a couple years ago, I guess a person in a jacked up truck irritated me, and I'm not talking about just a jacked up truck. I'm talking about with the lights and all that stupid shit underneath it. Huh? I evidently posted a few years ago that guys who drive jacked up trucks with lights on the bottoms take body shots of White Claw off of Matt Rife blow up doll. Clearly, I was aggravated that time. Because it showed up on my memories, and I reposted it. And I was like, it's still true.
I'm your huckleberry.
I don't think Matt Rife himself would let a dude take a body shot off of him of White Claw. I mean, he might. I don't know. He's funny as hell.
He is funny. He's very funny. Oh, my God. So, we were going nowhere with that story, or?
There was a point to that.
Okay.
There was no point.
Oh, no point to it. Much like our podcast.
Well, we're talking about Matt Rife owning the doll.
Right, right.
And that's why it just kind of the way my brain works. You said Matt Rife. And posted the shit about him a few years ago. Well, not wasn't about him, but he was involved in it.
Yeah,
he was an innocent bystander in my joke.
He would have got it. He would have got it.
I'm sure. But
But that Ed and Lorraine Warren, you know, I think most of what I know is from, of course, the Conjuring movies, but watched a couple of episodes, some things, some documentaries and stuff. And I have to say, I think there's something going on there, but I wish that Ed Warren didn't have the back history that he had.
Oh, as a snake oil salesman?
Yeah.
Or a huckster. They kind of looked at him as like a huckster.
Yeah, and I wish, like, I'm like, God dang, dude, if you had gotten onto this and you're really onto something, like, I wish you had stepped away and maybe just funded the damn thing and not been a part of it.
Well, it is very true, though, that he was one of the first people who was given rights to perform exorcisms who was not a Catholic priest. Yeah.
Now, it's, you can't deny that shit does go on.
Yeah. Demonic possessions and stuff?
Yeah.
I 100% believe it. Yeah. What's his, David Berkowitz, you know, the whole devil made me do it. And the possessed dog telling him what to do. I think I already talked about this. I'm not sure, but he said he was possessed when he killed everybody that he killed. And then Richard Ramirez, the Night Stalker, he said he was possessed too. He was, you know, he was drawing cult symbols everywhere and stuff.
Really? Sir, do you know why I pulled you over today?
Because I'm going to kill more people.
No, sir. You didn't use your turn signal back there. I'm possessed.
Yeah.
Well, you don't use no turn signal.
The devil made me do it. I did see one that they don't know who did this, and now they're scattered trying to say, oh, it's not related, but have you ever heard of the Smiley Face Killer?
Mm-mm.
So the Smiley Face Killer has never been caught. This happened in the late 90s, early 2000s. But there was this rash of, like, off-the-highway murders, kind of gruesome-type murders, where there was a smiley face drawn somewhere near the vicinity of the body.
Okay.
And so, but now, because they could never solve it, and, you know, you got to backpedal and walk things back, so they could never solve it. They could never put a name or a face to who was doing it. So they were like, well, we don't know if it was just coincidence or not. So everybody had a fucking smiley face drawn right by it or in the vicinity of it, but it's not related. Really?
Yeah.
Really?
It must be a coincidence.
We have no proof it's related or not. We're just going to say that it ain't.
We have a serial smiley face drawer. It's just a coincidence, and it shows up next to all these dead bodies.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Now we're going to
Sheriff, could you fill us in on the details?
Well, it's pretty gruesome. We found victim one in the ditch on the side of the road. There were a few items around. There was a 40 of Colt 45, not the gun, the beer. And we thought that maybe the victim had gotten run over by another intoxicated driver. This was not the case.
Is it true they found a smiley face near the body?
Now, yes, that is true, and we do have some pictures, but we do not believe that has anything to do with the crime and the 47 stab wounds that the victim has. And it just so happened that the victim may have been accidentally stabbed and scribed a smiley face on his back. This is not related in any way whatsoever.
This is about right.
Now, we're going to need all y'all to go home and let us do our job.
Yeah. Nothing to see here. Move along. Nothing to see here.
And that's how every good horror movie goes, though, when you get the damn sheriff. He's like the second person to die.
Yeah.
The damn lawn for the, or the lone deputy in the damn town that the serial killer's running through.
Oh, of course. I mean, that's putting a target on your back in the movies, anyways.
That's, well, there's a serial killer in town. Here's my badge and my gun. I'm out.
But, I mean, like in the Scream movies, you know, Dewey wouldn't die. Like, they tried to kill him. I know at least twice he tried to kill him.
Yeah.
David Arquette, that dude was a glutton anyways. Like, he tried to kill himself in a wrestling ring one night.
I saw that.
So it was like, holy shit.
I always liked him, though.
But so, it was your first horror movie.
Mm-hmm.
What was the horror movie that you saw that was the most, like, I guess, fascinating?
The First Exorcist,
yeah. I'll tell you one that gave me an irrational fear of sheet glass, like glass in sheets. Mm-hmm. The Cell.
Oh yeah,
Jennifer Lopez when the horse
yeah.
scene.
Yeah,
that one kind of messed me up. And then I go to work at a door shop, working in a windows department, where I move giant panes of glass around with a forklift. So yeah,
Some Final Damn Destination shit.
Yeah.
Speaking about Final Destination, those movies do get better. That's the one thing I can say. Like, the damn, I don't know, the acting's not great in it, but as far as them coming up with new ways to kill people, those have successfully gotten better with each one.
I love the last movie where they did the, it was the MRI machine.
Yes, yes.
This guy got killed by an MRI machine.
I think it tried to pull its wiener off, didn't it?
Yeah, it pulled a bunch of shit off. Ugh. I was like, oh, okay. And then, you know, slammed him in and magnetized a bunch of other crap to him and killed him. It was like, one hell of a way to die. And didn't he get ripped through the hole of the MRI?
Yeah, something like that.
Oh, God. People who sit around and figure out creative scenes for ways of killing people, I really question their sanity. Because you got to kind of be out there.
It's gotten to almost be like a little bit of a release for you, you know?
You think that they ever, like, some of those scenes were playing out how they really wanted to do somebody that pissed them off?
I can only imagine.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to see her get caught in a trash compactor and try and get her way out and get smashed from her head to her eyeball. God. I think for me, the one that fascinated me the most and was kind of like, oh, that's crazy, was the House of a Thousand Corpses.
I did like that movie. I thought it was very original. It kind of goes off, gets off in the bushes right at the end, in my opinion.
Literally. It was like she crawled out of the bushes. I mean, we're out of the ground, you know.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
No, dude, that whole thing, Sid Haig, he became Captain Spaulding.
I am the devil, and I am here to do the devil's work.
Exactly.
Yeah. Old Otis.
It was Otis, yeah. Mr. Driftwood.
I found a couple of cool things. Mr. Driftwood. I found a couple of cool things about about all the Exorcist movies, but particularly the first one. Often heard a lot of stories about a lot of problems happening on set and things like that.
Yeah, they said the set was haunted. Cursed.
Yeah, yeah. There was a damn fire that burned the entire set down except for Reagan's bedroom.
Oh, wow.
That held up production for 6 weeks. Shortly after they rebuilt it, the sprinkler system malfunctioned, causing another delay. It's like, don't tell this side of me type of thing.
Yeah.
There were lots of injuries. And deaths. Now, the deaths were, in most cases, were some older actors, but still, it happened during filming. It was just a shit show. And I think several of the other Exorcist movies, particularly the third one.
Were there people that were having heart attacks and stuff in the theater?
I don't know about that.
Like, yeah, people were running out screaming, and they were handing out, like, crucifixes and holy water for people going in to watch it. They did it again on the last Conjuring movie in the theaters. Yeah. Yeah. We saw a video of it because we didn't get to see it.
Is it a gimmick?
I don't know.
It'd be a damn good gimmick.
Come on. Though. You're talking about fanaticals out there. They'll protest anything.
I don't like the way that demon was treated in the making of that. I thought they portrayed him very falsely. They get his fucking pronouns right.
Well, I mean, something along those lines. There's always an offense for everybody. But. No, so, like, if I remember correctly on The Exorcism, my dad was telling me about it, was, like, people were passing out in the movie theater, and it could have all been urban legend just to kind of add to the mystique of the movie. Now, I will admit that it was creepy.
Mm-hmm.
It was definitely creepy.
I don't think I've seen the newest one.
I don't think so. I haven't either.
Oh, okay.
But, I know the original one that, they had the, do you remember the demon's name on the Ouija board? 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Time's up. It was Captain Howdy.
Oh, you were talking about
the name that it gave her.
Yeah.
It was Captain Howdy.
Yeah.
There was the urban legend was that the whole thing was cursed because they used a Ouija board on the set.
Mm.
So there you go. Mm-mm-mm. Yeah. Again, kids, watch what you play with. Parker Brothers, you sons of bitches. How dare you release the evil into the world? It's not Parker Brothers' fault, you know, but we got to blame somebody.
Yeah, somebody had as far as I know, they're the only people to mass produce those fucking things.
Have you dug the Ouija board out?
Yeah, no.
No, he's still scared to do it, huh?
I'm not scared. I just know when to leave shit alone.
I went looking after we talked about it on the last episode. You got that bitch buried in there. Like, I'm not going looking for
exactly
it.
Where it's at.
No, I'm sure you do, but I mean, that
it's under my damn holy water and my damn damn brick dust and 17 crosses and
Sam and Dean Winchester poster. Got the Supernatural boys in there watching over it.
My Jesus fish sticker.
Oh, Lord. You did everything but bind that thing and throw it in the ocean, huh?
I did, and can't bring myself to get rid of it. I know I need to.
We burnt one. I don't remember whose it was, but I remember we threw it on the barbecue grill and set it on fire.
Was that the older one that we never really used?
I think it was. I think it was.
I don't know why we didn't use the one that looked like it came from the 1800s. We always used the damn newer
looking. I found one when I was at work one day, you know, because we decided we were going to stop at an antique store out in the middle of nowhere. And lo and behold, they've got like a early 1950s Ouija board for sale.
You know how many horror movies start out that way?
Uh-huh. Yeah, you know, I asked Kimmy, I said, what would you think if I bought this? She was like, I think you wouldn't bring it home. That's what I think. I think it'd be a waste of money and it would not be coming into this house.
Oh, well, that's hilarious. So Kimmy doesn't like the Ouija.
No, because it legitimately scares her. Like, she's never really spoke about why she is so freaked out by that kind of stuff, but it's got to be something. You don't get it's not like me and coyotes, okay? I have an unnatural fear of coyotes breaking into a house and eating things. Like, it's an irrational fear. It's not rooted in anything. Maybe the dingo ate your baby. I don't know where it came from, but all of a sudden, like, when we were out and we had that house, it was on, like, 60 acres. Dude, I was scared to death, like, every night. I'm like, I gotta lock the doors. The coyotes are gonna get us. Like, I don't know why. I just... I'm not really sure what did it. But that's an irrational fear, okay? That's rooted in nothing.
Coyote comes to the door and goes,
ding dong, motherfucker! Ding dong!
No! I'm not going to let you live that shit down.
I don't think it's more stealthy than that.
Freaking Rambo coyote. Look, got a bandana and shit on, roller skates and a rocket.
Just creeps up and just like slowly cuts the bug screen on the window to get in. Nah, I mean, I don't know where it came from, but she's got a fear of it. But I think hers is more rational. Like, I don't know. She's never really told me, but it took her a few tries. I told you we watched. It was the House of Ozzy after Ozzy Osbourne died around our place. I mean, seriously, it was weeks and weeks of us watching Ozzy Osbourne everything until I got her to where we would watch something else. But it's fine. She grew up on it. It was actually something that, like, genuinely, it genuinely upset a lot of people when he died.
Absolutely. You know? I wonder what it would be like if you could conjure Ozzy on a Ouija board or something. I bet you that would be.
Oh, you know, man, I was just like, what are you trying to do, man?
Mr. Osbourne.
What the fuck you want, man?
Yeah, I just wanted to see how you were doing.
I was up with Limmy and we was watching the news.
You were watching the news? Did you know, there's a lot of speculation. Did you go upstairs or downstairs?
Oh, you're winding me up, man. I went.
But where did you go, Mr.
You know,
Osbourne?
I went there, man.
What's it like?
It's like everything and nothing.
Mr. Osbourne, you're kind of dancing around the questions. If you could say anything to the living, what would it be?
Don't die, man. It's not worth it. When you die, you don't come back.
Is it painful?
You're dead.
I can't believe we actually got them conjured through the Ouija board. Robbie, give me some salt and close this thing up before that guy comes back. It's just,
what are you worried about, man? I'm getting out of here.
And he's out.
That's a good one, Robbie.
That quick. chalk that up to another horrible, horrible impersonation.
That was good, dude.
I'm warming my buns by the fire.
That was good. No, that was a good one.
Dude, yeah. So did you ever watch him drink coffee?
No.
Did you ever see this?
I never paid any
attention. Dude, he would shotgun coffee.
Oh, would he? He did always have like the big mug, like the double.
Whatever he had. I mean, he would like. So in one of the episodes of him and Jack doing the world detour thing, they go to a coffee brewery thingy, coffee, and he's sampling all these coffees, and he winds up like drinking like fucking 15 shots of basically espresso because he's tasting all of them instead of spitting them out, he's swallowing them.
Mm.
First of all, they're scalding hot. Secondly, he's taking them like party shots. And so it shows him a little bit later. It's like 3 a.m. He's down in the gym on the treadmill, just like wide open.
That reminds me of a good old days.
You know, it was like, I was good with some of the coke, man. Sharon said that it was, I don't know, man. It's just kind of gone.
I'm also, you're gonna get redemption on the. On the Governator too at some point.
The Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, I'll give you more time to prepare.
It's horrible. I don't want to do that one again.
Why not?
Because I'm older.
I love that.
Because
one.
I'm older, but my voice isn't the same as it was. You know, back when I was younger, it was a whole lot easier to do these voices, and now it's just like I can do a British one, but it can't be a specific British person. I can do an Irish one. I can do a Scottish one.
You can just do an Austrian then.
I can do a Central one.
poo.
Lord, yes, Lord, welcome very much. Thank you.
So, what are your plans for Halloween, dude?
Nothing this year. All the kids are older. So I mean, it's not really, let's go out and go trick or treating. And I've actually gotten into my cranky old man ways where I just don't want to dress. Because, you know, I used to dress up. I used to love it. I used to love dressing up.
Last year you dressed up. You and Kimmy both.
Yes. Was it last year? That was a year before.
Well, Kimmy was the nun.
She
and
was.
You were Papa Shama Lama Ding Dong.
Papa from... Emeritus IV from Ghost, Jesus Christ, get it right. God.
The only difference
is I was the fat Papa. He's skinny. I was Papow.
Oh, I have to be completely honest. You kind of got me listening to Ghost a little bit.
You're welcome.
But I just like, man, I'm still, and I think the reason I keep listening is because of what it does to my mind when I'm listening to it. I'm like, man, I shouldn't like this, but it's got some pretty catchy tunes.
Tell me if you could ever hear a catchier song written by a band other than...
I just can't believe it's from 2025 or 20, you know.
It's
straight out of the fucking 80s.
Be above. People go, what does Ghost sound like? And it's the first song I play for them. And they're like, no, thank you.
That's such a gimmick.
It's all it is a gimmick. Yeah.
I didn't realize, which I probably should have already known this, that it's a revolving group of members other than Papa Shamalama Ding Dong.
So, no, now it's a pretty consistent. Is it? Yeah, it's pretty consistent. Before, it was a different set of people, but so what happened, like, the whole reason he even got exposed, I'm a ghost historian, I know I'm a ghost. The whole reason he got exposed, because he had planned to never show who he truly was. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He wanted that, you know, incognito sense of mystique. Exactly. He wanted that. His band decided that they were going to sue him because he was just paying them. He was just paying them for their stuff. And they were like, we're supposed to get royalties off this. And he's like, no, you're not writers. You don't write the music. Mm-hmm. I'm the writer. I produce this. I record all this music in the studio by myself because he plays all the instruments. Mm. He's like Trent Reznor.
Yeah, he's paying them to play.
You guys are simply paid to play the music live.
Yeah.
And they thought they had a case, and then he took it to court, and it was like, nope. And then I think he might have countersued.
I don't know if he countersued, but I did read that he was deemed sole co-creator of
absolutely. So now the new members of the band, they're like, they get paid a salary, you know, which is fine.
Yeah, I mean, how cool is it to be able to go out on tour and play? I mean, if you want to do your own thing, you can do your own thing on the side.
Exactly. Yeah. It was like Mark Tremonti.
Yeah, dude, that man, he's got.
They would not give him credit for crap in Creed.
I know.
And so he was like, fine, I'll go do my own shit.
Yeah, completely one of the most underrated guitar players of the era.
I knew that would strike a chord with you. Get it? There's my dad joke for the day.
Oh, my God.
So you've got your daughter. So what are your plans for Halloween?
Yeah,
you going to fall victim to the stupid-ass trunk-or-treat, or are you going to go actually find a neighborhood?
Now you're making me feel bad.
You're doing a trunk or treat.
No,
aren't you?
We're not doing it. We're going to find a neighborhood and I'm going to walk my fat ass around.
You're going to get dressed up?
Fuck no.
You're not going to let me live vicariously through you this
year?
No,
I'm going to dress angry ass old fucking man.
What if I come over and dress you up? I've done it before.
No, we're too old for that now.
So now we're deemed too old for it. Mm-hmm. You just gave me shit literally about last year, me dressing up versus this year.
I wasn't giving
not.
You shit. You said you got dressed up last year. And I said, but you got dressed up last year.
Okay.
And
but
you
still,
did.
That's my.
Did I get dressed up last year? Tell the truth.
No.
Oh, fucking no.
You hadn't gotten dressed up since you played the Punisher, I'd be willing to bet.
I bet. It's because I can't fit the damn jacket anymore.
You still have that thing?
I do.
Oh, my God.
A fat guy and a little kid.
So we're talking about this jacket. It's like
Hot Topic special, baby.
Yes, I bought this jacket like God 30 years ago from Not Gothic, and it never fit me. Anyways, I think I might have had 20 minutes where it fit, and I was like, I gave it to Preston, and he wore the hell out of it. He like Neo from the Matrix.
Oh yeah, I sported that thing like probably 25 Halloweens in a row. the character was based off the jacket every year.
It was either the Crow or it was the Punisher.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, except for the one year I dressed up like Johnny Depp from Fear and Loathing.
Really?
I did.
You look like Hunter S. Thompson?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Where was I?
I don't know. We were at like friend of friends some Halloween party. They were having costume contests. I don't really, you know me. Unless we were doing something, I would just never get.
I did want to dress up this year, but it was not going to be anything creepy.
Just do it.
I want to be the Swiffer mop guy.
What is the Swiffer mop?
Swiffer power mop guy. I'll post a picture.
Okay, I have no idea.
Okay, okay, power mop. To my wife, hears this. She's like, "You're so fucking stupid." She's like, "It's just a regular dude." I can tell this story. So, like, I'm bald. Like, I got stubble right now because I haven't shaved, but I'm bald. This guy, I kid you not, he literally looks like he went back into wardrobe and they had an afro piece back there. And he was like, I'll take it. And he was late getting on the set. So he just slaps it on the middle of the back of his head like a yarmulke. Like he's got a 7 head. It's not a 5 head. It's way up towards the middle. And then he has this afro growing off the back. And I'm like, that is hilarious. That is a funny, funny looking thing to me. Check him out.
I'll have to
Google
look,
Swiffer power mop guy. Google it. I challenge you as the listeners, Google it as well. You'll get a giggle out of it. And some of you actually know it. And this is my favorite one. He's like, okay, power mop.
Okay, power mop. I'm about to mop your ass.
So what's the little girl going to ask for Halloween?
I think of some type of fairy or, fairy.
You something. Let me know when she's ready to do some creepy. I'll come over and I'll make it happen.
Okay, yeah. Definitely do some
I fancy myself as somewhat of a savant when it comes
to talent for sure
to doing costumes.
Mm-hmm. You're an artiste.
So, I'm an artiste.
You draw pretty good too.
I just like doing the costumes because I can bring the art to life. Like if I could ever get a seasonal gig doing like costume work at a haunted house, like I'd do it, you know. I'd find time anyways to come to at least a few times.
I would love to find a spot to do it, to put on some type of haunted house. We've always talked about doing that.
Yeah, we talked about it for years. We're like, we got to get some property and then we can do this. And like, we came up with this whole scenario, like a whole setup for it. Yeah. And it just never happened.
I think it would be huge. I just think now you'd have to worry about getting sued.
So if any of our listeners out there have massive amounts of money that you don't know what to do with, you're not sure where you want to spend it, you could help the You Don't Have a Balls podcast do their haunted house next year.
Yeah, absolutely. Let us know. We'd love to do that. We might figure out a way anyway.
Just hit us up.
Because it's Halloween, and I think maybe we're getting toward the end of Halloween.
We are getting towards the end. We are getting towards the end of it. Got any final thoughts on Halloween Haunted? Do you want any? Got anything else you want to add to it?
No, I want all y'all to be safe. No drinking and driving. There's little kids running around. Everybody be safe.
They're taking us off the roads at like 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
We have to be off the roads.
Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't want the damn liability, but yeah, everybody be safe. Look after them children. Happy Halloween, everyone.
Happy Halloween. Everybody be safe.
For listening.
And we will see you next time. Going to 2 episodes a week after this week.